This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good Saturday morning to you on this fishing opener Mother's Day weekend. It's time once again to talk lawns and gardens on our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering all those questions this morning. Teresa, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. What a beautiful morning out there.
It really is. We've just moved. Heard Al mention the temperature we have moved. Let's see if I can get it right. 59 now. Wow. On our way to 77, but even warmer. So, yeah, what a weekend. And I've been out kind of, preparing things for mostly weeding. What a job.
There's always weeding, isn't there?
That's my green thumb, my ability to just grow these weeds like crazy.
That's amazing ability there, Denny.
Oh, yes. Yes, pretty talented. But you know what I'm hearing about, and we wanted to talk about a plant sale, because I kind of wanted to get over there, too. Tell us about what's going on with that plant sale.
Okay, so there's it's the plant sale season, as Al Schock mentioned, for the Friends sale. The Arboretum has their sale today, too. And then the Master Gardeners all throughout the state of Minnesota are having upcoming sales. Anoka County is on the 14th, Ramsey County, Washington, and Hennepin is next Saturday. So on the 17th, you have a lot of plant sales. And our plant sale here in Hennepin County will be at the Hopkins Pavilion. Starts at 9 o'clock. I would get in line early if possible and bring a wagon or something to haul your plants in. It's kind of gets crazy in there. We'll have over 20,000 plants, I believe, and or probably more than that. I didn't quite catch the number at our update meeting. And we'll have master gardeners everywhere. We'll have vegetables and annuals and perennial flowers. And there'll be some interesting plants and lots of natives for pollinators. We'll have lots of master gardeners there. I'll be there at the info booth. But we'll have lots of master gardeners throughout the whole thing to answer your questions.
And don't be afraid to ask, because you guys are the teachers, are you not?
We love answering plant questions and talking plants with the public. So please come and join us. We would love to see you there.
Well, you please remind us about that before you leave us today, too.
Okay.
If you would. All right, lots of questions already. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, you can phone it in. If you'd like to chat with Teresa, that's always good. Or if you find it easier just to send a text. Just one number for either. That number is 651-461-9226. One that came in early this morning, text-wise, it says this. Will it do any good to put 10-10-10 fertilizer on my lilacs, rhubarb, and other blooming flowers that have wood chips all around them?
It certainly will. You can pull the wood chips back if you want and put the 10-10-10 down on the ground, or you can just sprinkle it on top of the wood chips, and then as the rain comes or as you water, it will work its way down to the plant roots. So that's a wonderful thing to do.
Okay. This listener wanted to know, why is it so hard to raise raspberries? The wild ones no longer exist.
Wow. Most people don't find it difficult to raise raspberries. What you want to look for when you're planting raspberries, a full sun site will be best. Nice, rich soil is wonderful. They're heavy feeders. And that's about all you really need. You can find the raspberries at the garden centers now and put them in. But if you do those things, you'll probably have a really good luck. You'll probably have. You may want to fence them off for a little while because their bunnies may nibble on the brand new raspberry bushes. So I would put a fence around them. You could go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, get some more tips about them, different varieties, when they fruit, how to harvest them quickly so you don't get the spotted winged Drosella. That's a little fly that gets in there. It's sort of like a fruit fly. And how to, you want to train them, and pruning information is on there too. So good luck with the raspberries. They're really not that hard to grow. They kind of get away from most people.
Well, that's good to know. A lawn question, when is the best time to use weed and feed?
You could use your weed and feed probably now toward the end of the month. Do read the instructions. You want to make sure that if you've just planted grass, there could be some warnings on there. The weed and feed may be too strong for the new grass that's coming up, so you'll have to read the instructions. Read the instructions about how to keep it wet, how to make sure that the weed and feed actually adheres to the grass, and understand you're feeding it, and you may feed some weeds too. There's some weeds that aren't impacted by the weed part of it. So just read the instructions. The label is the law on all of those chemicals. But you could go ahead and do that. Good. Just follow the instructions.
It's going to be kind of a hot week to that kind of thing this week, I would say.
It's pretty hot. Yep. There again, you're reading the instructions, and it will give you parameters of temperature and rain and moisture and things like that. So always follow the label instructions.
And if the forecast is correct, Teresa, we may be getting some rain toward the end of this coming
week.
Oh, good rain.
Oh, good rain.
This listener says this via text, why are many of my hostas growing, quote, rogue? Not forming a circular pattern, but growing all over the place.
Oh, well, they're just spreading out to where the food is. Sometimes with our perennials, often the roots get so concentrated in the middle, they use up all the nutrition, and then that part of the plant is a little older. It may be more susceptible to damage and death. So then the hostas then just expand to where the nutrition is, where the soil's nicer, where the conditions are better. They don't know they're supposed to just grow in a big circle clump.
Okay, very good. Let's take a phone call this morning. Ed checking in for Robbinsdale this morning. Good morning, Ed. What is your question for Teresa?
Yeah, on the turf, it's kind of a gray-looking turf, pretty large area. We're thinking grubs, but would that be correct?
Grubs would normally eat the roots of the turf, and then the turf dies. Now, it may be turning gray and then turning brown and dying. But if you can't roll it back like a carpet, it still is pretty well rooted in the ground. You're not seeing a lot of damage. You could dig a 12-inch hole in near that area and lift up the soil and see if you have any grubs. It almost sounds more like it could be possibly a disease or something, a fungus getting on there. I would definitely, you know, look at the leaves closely, see if you can see anything on them, check the ground, and then go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. Look on the lawn disease problems and see if anything matches. If it still doesn't seem to be good, if you can pull up a little clump that's where the good grass meets the bad grass and include some of the soil and the roots, you can bring that to a farmer's market if there's going to be master gardeners there, or you can take some good pictures and again go to the Extension website and you can click on the Ask a Master Gardener area and you can send up to three pictures with your question. That may help you figure out what's going on there.
Okay,
good luck.
Thanks for the call. What can we plant? Texter says, my vine seedling, squash, cucumber, etc. are ready to go.
Well, I'd probably maybe want to make sure the soil's a little bit warmer. With the warmth we've had lately, depending upon what part of the state you've got, you want to make sure that that soil's a nice warm temperature for those roots. If possible, I'd try to hold off till Memorial Day just to be on the safe side with those. However, if you have a very sunny area and or raised beds and you know that soil temperature is warm, go ahead and put those squash vines in. Once you've acclimated them to being outside, you've hardened them off. You can study hardening off plants at the extension website also, and then plant them. You may want to give them a little extra protection. Make sure that they're not going to get hit by frost or cool temperatures at night till we get past the end of May. Good luck with your veggies.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. Quick break is in order. Call us or text us with any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. 651-461-9226. Fair skies now. We're on our way to 77 today. Mother's Day tomorrow, we could get up to 88. Right now, CCO temp, 59 degrees. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome back to this edition of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Answering those lawn and garden questions this morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. And Teresa, as usual, we have many phone calls and text messages as well. And a busy weekend, too, with fishing opener and Mother's Day tomorrow. All right, let's grab a phone call, Teresa. Jean is calling in from Bloomington, I believe, this morning. Jean, thank you. What is your question?
Hi. Thanks. I listen to the show every Saturday morning.
Thank you.
Well, my problem is that my raspberries, the canes that are up from last year, aren't sprouting at all. I'm getting new canes. Our new plants starting at the bottom, but the standing canes are just brown. It's like a 10 by 6 foot area behind the garage that and it's got a bunch of leaves in there and some creeping Charlie, but do you think I just didn't water it last fall enough? What should I do for fall coming going? Compost it more?
Compost more, add some compost, make sure it stays well watered. You can take your pruners out there now and start on those standing canes. Unless you know they're dead, just clip the tops until you come to the green living growth. If it's dead all the way, you may as well remove those canes. It was a very weird, hard winter for a lot of our plants. I noticed a lot of trees have died and a lot of people have lost plants that were really well established. The ground got very dry and then the frost went in a little deeper because we didn't have a good snow cover. So I would, if you know they're dead canes, you may as well get them out of there, get some good air circulation going and help the new canes as much as possible. But you're doing all the right things, Jean. Go ahead, add some compost to make sure it's well watered too. That's good. And if you want to get rid of some creeping Charlie, you could pull that too.
Very good.
Maybe Denny can come over and help you weed.
Love that creeping Charlie. question is, when to transplant and or divide peonies and rhubarb?
Okay, so rhubarb, you could have done that just before it came out of the ground this spring. Otherwise, you can wait a little bit longer, maybe into the fall, and divide it then. I would double check on that one. You wanted to be able to really get as much leaf going as possible to make those roots really strong. So actually, you know, all in all, I would probably wait till next spring to divide it, and divide it as soon as you can see the ground is workable. Your peonies, you want to divide those in August or move them in August. I think you were just moving them. If you divide peonies, make sure that you are planting them at the same depth or a little bit higher, even if you're just transplanting the whole plant. And understand, if you divide a peony, it may not bloom for a number of years because it does go into a shock and they just don't like to be moved. But if you've got to move them for some reason, just lift them and move them in August as quickly as possible. And I would do it on a cooler day, if there is one in August, when it's kind of overcast. It's nicer for you and nicer for the plants.
Okay. This listener, Teresa via text, said this: I had a late start in planting my native flowers after stratifying the seeds about an extra month. I planted them in milk jugs in seed starter that contains something, C-O-I-R?
Or coconut core.
Could you please advise me on how to know when to water the seeds and plants, as well as how, quote, wet the seed should be?
Okay, so you want to look in the milk jugs. So if the seeds are up and growing, you can open up your milk jug and touch the soil, put your finger in the soil by the seeds, and that will give you an idea. Ideally, for most plants, when you're starting them off, you want the soil to be as damp as a wrung-out sponge. If you can imagine how that feels when you touch it, and then you put your finger into the soil up to the first or second knuckle where the roots are for the plants, and you feel how damp the soil is. You don't want it soaking wet like mud, and you don't want it dry like a desert either. You want it just sort of moist is what you're looking for those plants. And they will be all hardened off, so then you can put them in the ground whenever you're ready to plant them.
Okay. Here's a tree question, Teresa. Is the Royal Raindrops crabapple tree a good choice for planting in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area? It would be placed on the east side of the house in full sun until about 2 p.m.
Okay, this is a perfect segue to the arboretum. So yes, it should be a good choice for the Minneapolis area. And I strongly suggest if you're looking at a crabapple, you head out to the arboretum, head out on 3 Mile Drive, and look at the crabapple trees. They are blooming. They are beautiful. And you can get an idea of then what they mean when they say it upright, a weeping, a spreading crabapple. You can really get an idea of what that looks like as a full-grown tree and then decide if that shape, that color, that look is what you want in your landscape. And, of course, the tulips are blooming out there, and there's all kinds of beautiful things going on at the Arboretum. They have their sale today, but there's all wonderful things going on. There's classes. There's tulips. There's red buds, magnolias. One of my favorite flowers, the little checkered lily fritillaria, is blooming out there now. It's a spring bulb. Go out to the arb if your eyes need some eye candy. Take mom out to the arb. Treat her to lunch at the restaurant there, and just show her a good time at the arboretum.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, and a perfect day too.
It's a perfect day, perfect weekend to be out there. It's going to be crazy with the plant sale, but some people like crowds, so you do it.
kind of like a state fair
thing, yeah.
You mentioned, Teresa, about maybe we could go over a little bit, because I got a notice from the Dakota County Master Gardeners about a plant sale on the 17th. Give us rundown, what you told us, and some folks may have missed that.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, so there's a lot of plant sales going on. You can always find the list of plant sales often at the Extension website or at the Northern Gardener in their magazine. So the Arboretum's doing today. Sherburne County is today. I forgot them earlier. Anoka is on the 14th. These are the counties. And then on the 17th, we have Ramsey, Washington, Hennepin, and Dakota plant sales. They're all on the 17th. And also today and tomorrow is the Friends plant sale. So there's a lot of great opportunities to support local groups and buy all your plants. And in most cases, especially at the Hennepin County Master Gardener Sale, and I know at the other Master Gardeners, there's going to be lots of Master Gardeners to talk to. And we love talking plants and talking to our community. So come out and talk to us and ask us about plants and buy some plants.
Absolutely. Great idea. Before we break for weather, let's grab another text from a listener. Here's one. It says, all my vinca are gone on one side of my house. Was the cold winter without snow cover the cause?
I would think so. Yep. We're seeing a lot of fungal diseases coming through on the Pachysandra. I haven't heard of problems with the vinca, but as a ground cover, we had a nice fall, but then it got drier and drier, and it was just kind of cold, and that frost went down a little deeper than it normally does and could kill off a lot of your ground cover. So you may need to divide and replant some of that ground cover, or think of adding a different ground cover in there as an accent to accentuate what you already have and have different color kind of leaves in there. But, yep, it was the winter.
Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to have a look at that warm forecast, and we'll be back with the other half of our Smart Garden Show, presented every Saturday by Great Garage Floors. Welcome back this Saturday morning, the 10th of May. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions on our Smart Garden Show, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Here is yet another text, Teresa. Our dog, digging a few holes in our lawn. Can we put down black or cayenne pepper to dissuade him, or is there something else better that won't hurt him or the grass?
Well, the cayenne pepper would bother your dog. If you sniffed a whole bunch of cayenne pepper, you would be very uncomfortable. It hurts your mucus. And so you don't want to do that to your dog. It's just a matter of training. And what you could do, actually, is set aside an area in your yard, maybe a little out of the way. You can even screen it with some small bushes, where you just have like a sandy, very sandy area. You hide bones in there for him, his toys or her toys, and let them dig there. And we reward them when they dig in their playpen, and teach them not to dig in the yard. It's a dog's natural instinct to dig. And so there's not, I mean, there might be something on the market that you could use. I would check maybe with your local garden center and see if they have anything. But that would be more of a fragrance thing that you're going to use, not something like hot pepper, which would bother your dog, in their eyes. They're very burning, very, very painful for your puppy, and you don't want to put your puppy through that. So training, maybe leash training when they're outside, and just giving them a place where they can dig and reward them when they dig there. Doggies want to be, they want you to be happy. They love when their people are happy. So when you reward them, they know they're doing a good job, and you can train them to go over in that area instead too.
Right.
You can also do that if they're urinating and defecating in the wrong areas. Train them to go in one area and reward them. It's sometimes easier on the grass than on you.
Yeah, for sure. Not necessarily that order, yeah.
Exactly.
Is there a chemical, listener wants to know, that kills grass that has invaded ground flocks?
Yes, there are grass killers out there. Again, go to your local garden center and talk to them about it. They're very knowledgeable. Read the label and follow the label. Grasses are monocots, M-O-N-O. Mono meaning they send up one leaf, and most of our perennials are dicots. When they send up their first leaves, they're two leaves. And they have different ways of growing. So not all of our perennials are that way, but most of them are. So you can use a grass killer and just read and follow the instructions. The label is the law.
Is it beneficial to water hostas right now since it's so dry?
If it's dry, it's beneficial to water your plants.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of a plant it is, unless it's like a cactus or something. But if it's dry and you think your plants are struggling, do give them some water. That would be very nice for them.
This texture might be well served by getting on the U of M Extension website. They said that we lost a tree that was shading a bird bath. I'd like to plant a climbing vine on a trellis near the bird bath to give it some shade. Is there one you recommend that will attract hummingbirds and bees?
You could try a clematis, and also maybe that would be a perennial on the trellis. You could also then grow hyacinth bean, which has tubular flowers that will attract hummingbirds and some pollinators. So you could try both of those together. I'm not sure there's a sunflower, like, it looks like a sunflower, but it's not a sunflower. There's a yellow and a white one, yellow and black with black centers, or white with black centers. They grow very quickly too. I'm not sure how attractive they are to pollinators, but it could be a quick growing annual vine for you. The clematis is perennial, and the hyacinth bean would also be an annual. So you can mix your vines together too.
Okay. This listener is wondering if I can plant smaller tomato plants in a raised garden protected from winds, and it sits facing west, and is it too early to sow cucumber seeds?
Yes, you can plant your tomatoes there. That would be just fine for them. If it's a raised garden and connected to the ground, that would be fine. If it's like a salad table garden where it's up off of the ground and it's not connected to the ground, make sure that the tomato plant you're planting is only going to get maybe a foot tall. There are some tiny, tiny tomato plants that are almost like ground covers that would work in something like that. Anything taller will become a wind sail and could be blown out of the raised bed, the table garden. Or it just couldn't have enough root space in there to anchor it properly. We get storms, so even if it's protected from the wind, there's still weird downdrafts in that you'd have to consider.
If you have a lawn or garden question, by all means, you can call it in or text it in. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions at 651-461-9226. Should New England aster be trimmed so they get bustier rather than taller? Will trimming now affect the blooms this year?
You can cut those back now. The last time I would cut them back would be just before the 4th of July. That gives them time to grow a little bit and put on their flowers. And it may impact the flower time. Just set it back a little bit, but it will also make the plant sturdier and have a lot more flowers and not be as tall and floppy. So, yes, you can go ahead and trim those back a little. Maybe give them another haircut just near the middle to the end of June also.
I remember the question, but I don't remember the answer from last week. Texter says, last week there was a question about getting rid of moss. It was suggested to use Quicksilver. My hardware store had no information. Did I get the wrong name? But what can you do to get rid of moss?
I've not heard of Quicksilver. I love moss, so I never try to get rid of it. I would go to the Extension website and check that out. I haven't heard of Quicksilver for moss, but I will do some checking on that.
Okay.
But you want to change the environment that the moss is growing in. If you don't change the environment, it is going to come back again. So you need to get the soil, have more organic matter in. You need to get more air circulation out there so it's not so wet and damp, and perhaps give it a little more sunlight, although some mosses do grow in the sunshine. So that's if you're looking to get it off of your roof, that's a different thing. Make sure that whatever product you're using, when it falls onto your plants below, it's not going to impact the plants below where the moss will run off, the water will run off. But I have not heard of Quicksilver, so
okay.
I'll have to do some checking on that.
Very good. This listener is starting over with their lawn. They said, I have rototill, laid down 5 yards of sand, heavy clay soil, and will rototill again today. Then I plan on fertilizing and seeding. Any further suggestions, they ask?
I would add some compost if at all possible. I'm not quite sure why they've added the sand. Sand and clay could possibly make cement and clay pots if you don't have the ratio right. So I try to add some organic matter in there. Perhaps some compost should be good. And then again, check with the Extension website in case I miss something of what you have already done. You do want to make sure you get all the weeds out that you possibly can.
All right, very good. Can I fill half a planter container, Dexter says, with a newspaper or shredded paper? And will it affect the vegetable if I do?
If you're just looking to put it at the bottom, that's just going to turn into a wet, soggy mass, and it could actually stop the water from draining from the soil above it. If you're thinking of mixing it into the soil, I'm not sure how that will work. Because as it decomposes, it's going to pull nitrogen and then release it. That would just kind of be a little. I'd be a little leery about that. You know, adding a little bit of shredded paper to the soil probably won't be bad, but I wouldn't do it half full, and I just wouldn't do like two layers, like paper on the bottom and the soil on top. That soil is just going to squish right down and just turn that mat into almost like a blocking. That's not going to drain.
Okay. Greetings, Texter says. Is there a difference in canna and calla lilies and how to plant and care for them?
There is a difference. The cannas have huge leaves, and they often get great big red flowers. And they can get, you know, 6, 8, 10 feet tall, depending upon which variety you've got and how happy and sunny they are. Calla lilies are more like what you might see in a wedding. They're very demure, kind of lily shaped. They're just kind of like a twist. They're usually grown in the shade. Both work. Both are weeds. No, they're not weeds. They're plants. They're beautiful flowers. Both of them are bulbs, and you do need to lift them. I think the cannas might be a little easier to store over winter. But I would look at both are easy to store over winter. I don't know if they take the exact same humidity and coolness over winter to keep them happy till you replant them. Again, I go to the extension website and see how to treat those bulbs separately. But they're two totally different plants.
Okay. Texter says this, I'm finding every year now that by the first week in May, the geraniums and some other nursery plants are already overgrown and gangly. How early should we be planting now? April?
It depends. If you're looking at the ones at the garden centers, you could just ask them why they're so gangly. But also, because they usually are pruning those pretty tight to keep them short for you. If you're bringing up your geraniums from the basement and they're getting gangly in the house, you can trim those back before you put them outside to recorrect their growth pattern a little bit and just keep them a little shorter in stature and not so tall and leggy. Give them some more light in the house. But you're not going to find them in the garden centers, hopefully, until they're ready to go outside. So I'm not sure if they had to hold them too long, if they planted too early, if they just didn't have enough sun at the garden centers where they purchased them from. Maybe that's why they got a little leggy. You can just prune those back when you put them in, and they'll, you know, they'll recover and they'll start blooming again in a little while for you.
All right.
I hope that answered your question.
Hang on, Teresa. A quick break is in order. We'll be back on the other side with more lawn and garden questions on our Smart Garden Show, presented every Saturday by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show, as you heard, presented by Great Garage Floors. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions today. And we still have a bunch, Teresa, and we're going to get to the phones in a moment. But you had kind of a follow-up on that Quicksilver.
The Quicksilver, it looks like it could just be some kind of brand name. I'm not 100% sure. But I would just go to your garden center or your hardware store and ask them for something that will control moss. It looks like there's various chemicals that they're using to control that. And just read and follow the label instructions. When I pulled up Quicksilver Moss Control, it gave me a whole bunch of different things, and they all use different products in there. So I didn't hear it last week, and I probably should have been listening, but I was busy. So I hope that helps a little bit.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the follow-up. Let's grab a phone call. Kathy is on the horn calling in from Excelsior this morning. Thank you, Kathy. What's your question for Teresa?
How do you get rid of bittersweet?
Bittersweet? You could use, you can pull it. And then just be careful when new bittersweet is coming up from the seeds in the soil. Keep pulling it so you can remove it that way. You can use a weed killer, a vine killer on it, just a brush killer. Again, make sure that when you read the label instructions that it does say it's for bittersweet. And there are two different kinds of bittersweet, and you do want to get rid of, I believe it's the Oriental bittersweet. That's not native here, and we want to remove that. Good luck with that, Kathy.
Listener says, I've been told that you cannot grow blackberries north of the Twin Cities. Is that true, or are there varieties that are more hardy?
I think there's a few varieties that will work for you. How good they are and how tasty and how strong they're going to be will just depend. It depends, too, if you're looking in your garden and you have a zone 2 garden, even though you're just above the cities because you have a tough site, or if you have a zone 4 garden, even though you're above the cities, it really depends. So know what garden zone you're in, and then try to find a vine that'll work for you. And understand that if it's kind of iffy, it could fail at any time for you if we have weird winters like we did last year.
Okay. My vinca, Texter says, also suffered this winter, and I have heard that it's a, quote, noxious weed in Minnesota. Is that true?
The vinca is, I would double check if it's a noxious weed. I know that they're saying you probably not to plant it. Again, you know, figure out if it's noxious weed, if it's prohibited, or if it's just something that we're worried about getting out of our native systems. Then figure out where you live. If you live in the middle of Minneapolis, you're probably okay if you're not near a natural habitat or a waterway or a lake, something like that. But if you're near a native habitat, a natural habitat, just be really careful about what you're planting. Check with the Minnesota Wildflowers, check with DNR, and then check the extension website, and check those three places and see how they list it and if you have to remove it. But I have heard vinca is, it's on the sort of frowned upon list right now, and I don't remember all of the categories, so I don't want to give you a definitive answer, but I know there's a negative connotation going out there with the vinca.
All right. This listener wants to buy a small redbud tree. Do I need to buy the Minnesota hardy variety in order for it to survive?
You should try to get a Minnesota variety or a northern variety if possible. You'll stand a better chance of keeping your tree for longer.
Okay.
If you're okay with gambling on it, you go and do what you want to do. But the northern varieties will be better for you, the Minnesota varieties.
This listener already got a gift for Mother's Day, a mandevilla, and the question is, what should I expect?
It'll be a beautiful vine. It can get kind of wild, so go ahead and hack it back if you need to. It'll like full sun, and it may like to be a little moister than you might think, but as long as it's in full sun, it'll be really happy and bloom for you. You will need to probably feed it because it will be in a pot, so you will need some fertilizer, and you can just use a regular 10-10-10 or whatever fertilizer you normally use in your pots will be just fine for it. Good luck and congratulations.
I know I've used the U of M Extension website to check out different trees I was considering, and this one listener wanted to know, what trees would you suggest for planting in a compacted clay soil? What do you think?
I would definitely, first of all, know your zone, so know where you are. Check out the extension. That would be a really good idea, too. Also, there are options for DNR information, Native Resources, Department of Native Resources, and those would be my first two to go to. And then if you can, get down to Arboretum and see what that tree looks like, and it's in a habitat, so you can see if you like the look of that tree when it's more mature.
Okay. My ornamental flowering crabapple, texture says, which is about 5 years old, bloomed beautifully last year, but this year has skimpy leaves and is not flowering, while my neighbor's crabapples are beautiful. Now, the top half of the tree was attacked by Japanese beetles last year. Did they kill it, or is it a lost cause, or can it recover?
It probably will recover. Normally, Japanese beetles just eat the leaves. They can stress the tree. So with the droughtier summer that we kind of had, we had a nice wet spring and then an okay fall. But then we had a very dry winter and the cold went down. So a number of stresses, not normally one thing doesn't kill a tree, but there's all these little stresses on the tree, and it's not that old. May have gotten a little droughty. It got a little, lots of the leaves were eaten, so it couldn't put so much photosynthesis into the roots. And last year it bloomed heavily, so that takes a lot of energy. So it's just on a recovery period. I would treat the tree as gentle as you possibly can. Make sure it stays watered well. Don't weed whack the trunk if possible. Anything that's dead can be pruned out, but I would wait a little while till it leaves out. I was driving over the city yesterday, and I saw an awful lot of dead mature trees, an awful lot. It was a hard winter on trees. We've had years of drought, and all these little stresses add up on the tree, and they finally just give up, or they really are impacted, and we just have to be as nice as we can to help them recover.
Well, that's our final note, I think, Teresa. We're plumb out of time. Let's again quickly review the sales, the plant sales going on.
Plant sales,
if you would.
Sherburn County today, Anoka County on the 14th, and on the 17th, next Saturday, Ramsey, Hennepin, Washington, and Dakota. The Friends sale is today, too. So enjoy your plant sales, and happy growing, everybody, and happy Mom's Day, and good fishing to those who fish.
Yeah, absolutely, and don't forget to get to the Arboretum. Bring Mom to the Arboretum. And
it's beautiful
that,
with all the tulips.
Let's tell folks about the U of M website, if you would.
extension.umn.edu, and start looking for master gardeners out in your community at info tables and farmers markets and places.
Excellent. Teresa, always fun. Thanks so much for the work.
Thanks, Denny. Have a great day.
Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, answering those questions this morning.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.